Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 5, Text 15. Na adatte kasyachit papam na cha eva sukritam vibhuhu ajnanena avritam jnanam tena muhyanti jantavaha nadatte kasyachit papam na chaiva sukritam vibhuhu Agyane navritam jnanam tena muhyanti jantavaha nadatte kasyachit papam na chaiva sukritam vibhuhu Agyane navritam jnanam tena muhyanti jantavaha nadatte kasyachit papam na chaiva sukritam vibhuhu agyane navritam jnanam tena muhyanti jantavaha Na, never, adatte, accepts, kasyachit, anyone's, papam, sin, na, nor, cha, also, eva, certainly, sukritam, pious activities, Vibhuhu, the Supreme Lord, Ajnanena, by ignorance, Avritam, covered, Jnanam, knowledge, Tena, by that, Muhyanti, are bewildered, Jantavaha, the living entities. Verse translation. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. Purport. The Sanskrit word vibhu means the Supreme Lord who is full of unlimited knowledge, riches, strength, fame, beauty, and renunciation. He is always satisfied in himself, undisturbed by sinful or pious activities. He does not create a particular situation for any living entity. But the living entity, bewildered by ignorance, desires to be put into certain conditions of life, and thereby his chain of action and reaction begins. A living entity is, by superior nature, full of knowledge. Nevertheless, he is prone to be influenced by ignorance due to his limited power. The Lord is omnipotent, but the living entity is not. The Lord is vibhu, or omniscient. but the living entity is Anu or atomic. Because he is a living soul, he has the capacity to desire by his free will. Such desire is fulfilled only by the omnipotent Lord. And so when the living entity is bewildered in his desires, the Lord allows him to fulfill those desires. But the Lord is never responsible for the actions and reactions of the particular situation which may be desired. Being in a bewildered condition, therefore, the embodied soul identifies himself with the circumstantial material body and becomes subjected to the temporary misery and happiness of life. The Lord is the constant companion of the living entity as Paramatma, as the Supersoul, and therefore he can understand the desires of the individual soul as one can smell the flavor of a flower by being near it. Desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the living entity. The Lord fulfills his desire, the living entity's desire, as he, the living entity, deserves. Man proposes and God disposes. The individual is not, therefore, omnipotent in fulfilling his desires. The Lord, however, can fulfill all desires, and the Lord, being neutral to everyone, does not interfere with the desires of the minute, independent living entities. However, when one desires Krishna, the Lord takes special care and encourages one to desire in such a way that one can attain to him and be eternally happy. The Vedic hymns therefore declare, Esha huyeva sadhu karma karayati tang yam ebhyo lokebhya uninishate Esha u eva sadhu karma karayati yam adho ninishate. The Lord engages the living entity in pious activities so that he may be elevated. The Lord engages him in pious activities so that he may go to hell. Agyo jantar anisho yam atnana sukadukayoho Ishvara prerito gachet swargam vashvabhram evacha. The living entity is completely dependent in his distress and happiness. By the will of the Supreme, he can go to heaven or hell as a cloud is driven by the air. Therefore, the embodied soul, by his immemorial desire to avoid Krishna consciousness, causes his own bewilderment. Consequently, although he is constitutionally eternal, blissful and cognizant due to the littleness of his existence, he forgets his constitutional position of service to the Lord and is thus entrapped by nescience. And under the spell of ignorance, the living entity claims that the Lord is responsible for his conditional existence. The Vedanta Sutras also confirm this. Vaishamya nayagrinye na sapekshat vat tata hi darshayati. The Lord neither hates nor likes anyone, although he appears to. Nādate kasya chit pāpam nachaiva sukritaṁ vibhuhu agyānen āvritaṁ jñānam tena muhyanti jantavaha. Om agyāna timirandhasya agyānan janashalākaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai śrī gurave namaha. Nama Srishtam Manamapi Shachiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam Tas Yagrajamaruparim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavansha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. This verse that we just read from is not one of the better known verses of Bhagavad Gita. I don't remember Srila Prabhupada quoting this at all. It's not often quoted by anyone, as far as I know. But it has a very important, or it gives light on a very important understanding that in the Western religions there is the problem of evil. So this verse sheds light on the problem of evil. The problem of evil is basically this. And we say there's God, right? Is God in control? And God is all-powerful. Otherwise can't be God. And God is good. Otherwise can't be good. Can't be God. So if God is all-powerful and God is all-good, then why is there so much suffering in the world? Why is there evil in the world? Why doesn't God, by his power, remove the evil from the world? And this is a a point that the Christians and Muslims and Jews, the Abrahamic religions, they've never been able to answer it very well. So it's a big, this problem of evil is a big spanner in the works for those who subscribe to these religions. And it's a big weapon in the arsenal of atheists. Say, how can there be God? You say God's all powerful. Then why doesn't he stop suffering? Buddhists also, they don't have this problem of evil because they don't have any God. The world is here and it's just here and it's here and it's here and then there's no evil. Actually, if we take the atheistic position, there is no suffering. Ultimately, there is no suffering or there is no evil because it's all just an interaction of energy. The energy is like, well, there are so many electromagnetic force and gravitation and so on. It's all just energies. And the chemicals, they're just, if you get down deep into the chemicals, you'll find it's all just energy. So it's all just energy. So there's no, everything's just an imagination. That's why all we see, we think I am a person, but actually it's just a bunch of energies, random energies. So we see that this Buddhism is popular with New Agey kind of scientists, and there have been books written, the Tao of Physics, and Fritjof Capra, something like that. That was written maybe 40 or 50 years ago now, in which they're saying, by going deeper and deeper into science, we found it's just like Buddhism, with a touch of Hinduism added. They see the way the electrons move around, just like the dance of Shiva. Which is all just, there's nothing actually there. It's just some energy. There's no person, that's the point. If there's no person, then there's no question of suffering and there's no question of evil, because there's nothing substantial called evil. You can't go in a shop and give me 2 kilos of evil. You can't touch, taste, smell, or hear it. It's just a concept. So this is the atheistic outlook. But for those who believe in God, it's a big problem, unless they read Bhagavad Gita as it is. And then they'll find out it is a problem that there's suffering in the world. And pretty much everyone accepts that. The Buddhists, their whole ism is based on the fact which Buddha, by meditation, he discovered. Wow, what an amazing discovery. The world is full of suffering. Went through so much meditation and everything, and then finally discovered the world's full of suffering. Wow, that was an amazing, huh? And even staunch atheists like Richard Dawkins, who believes in strict determinism, in what in philosophy would be called determinism. Because he says, well, there's a big bang, and then, and everything's still, we're part of the explosion, the effect of the explosion, everything's going on. So all the chemicals, they came out in a certain way, and we are like this today, what's going on? It's all part of the way everything exploded and just everything happened to fall together, and it's all part of the after effects of the explosion, and the way the chemicals are interacting, it's beyond our control. So actually everything's completely determined, predetermined. And so there's no such thing as free will. This is Dawkins' radical determinism. But at the same time, he's very busy trying to mitigate suffering in the world by teaching people that there's no God, because he feels that belief in God is a big problem and causes so much distress. His arch crony, Christopher Hitchens, after 9/11, which no one in India cares very much about, why should they care about it? But on the 11th of September 2001, so the story goes, once upon a time, some planes flew into 2 buildings and skyscrapers at the top, so naturally they completely collapsed and burned down, and another building just to the side of it also decided to blow up without any plane flying into it. And it was evil, very bad. So Christopher Hitchens, he was so disturbed. You see, these Islamic terrorists have done this. So he emigrated to America to help all the people who died there Islamic terrorist attack, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right. So problem of evil. How can there be God if there's evil? Well, here we find in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, rather imperfectly known as God in the English language, doesn't accept the results of what others do. He's to use English theological language, he's immanent within the world, he's everywhere, but at the same time he's detached from it. And everyone has free will, so they can decide what to do themselves. So we create our own situation. As stated elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, in this regard, who can supply the verse? Say it. That's it. That's the second part, especially. Purusha prakriti. Purusha sukha dukkhanam bhoktritve hetu ruchyate. The material energy, everything goes on according to the material energy. But the suffering and distress of the living being who is not part of the material energy, but he experiences suffering and pleasure. He himself is the architect of his own fortune. Okay. Then we get again, Purusha Prakriti Sohi Bhunte Prakriti Janguran Karnam Guna Sangosya Sada Sadhyo Nijanmasu. So these two verses, they go together. That material nature is the cause of everything that we see in this world in terms of its gross manifestation. But the living being gets better or worse situations within this world due to his own activities. And then why is someone born in a situation which is suitable for enjoyment of this world and someone is born into a situation of great suffering? That we cause our own situation by acting in pious or impious ways. But Krishna is aloof from it. The Christians have made up, I believe that was the Augustine, Saint Augustine, who vigorously denied that there's any reincarnation. He said it's a ridiculous idea. And so he gave a much better understanding of why there is suffering in the world, where we suffer. Someone is born into such and such a situation and someone is born into another situation. Why? Why is this? So he gave a highly theologically advanced idea that there was Adam and he ate an apple. And that's it. That, friends, is the cause of all suffering. And he was induced by a snake to do so. Satan. It's all Satan's fault. But even Christian theologians who have tried to justify why there is God, why there is God even though there's evil. Mostly they don't touch this explanation because it's not really an explanation at all. My great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather ate an apple when he was told not to, and therefore there are earthquakes, tsunamis, and mental disease, all kinds of horrible diseases. It doesn't really seem to fit. Then God is a madman. And then why call him God anyway, if he's just some kind of madman? That's why some people, they worship Satan and they say, look, Satan's in control of this world, not God, so better to worship Satan. That's what they think. That's the kind of absurdity that arises from this. They invent some person called Satan. And Islam adopted Satan from Christianity, like so many other things. And even the idea of Satan came, wasn't invented by Christians. It went back before that to Persia. Someone in Persia made up some idea of Satan. So really, the problem of evil, it doesn't arise in Vedic knowledge. It doesn't arise, not that we deny there is evil. Evil means some very bad forces in the world, but who is that Satan? It's you and me. We ourselves choose to do bad things. Question comes up. Arjuna also asks, what's the question? Atha kena prayuktayam papam charati purushaha. See, he uses the word charity. He is. Not charity, an English word. It's a Sanskrit word. Charity. That gives the idea that it's just not just doing it once, but just going on and having the habit of doing it. Papam charati purushaha. Anicchan api varshnaya baladiva niyojita. Why is it that it seems that by force we know it's wrong, but we do it anyway? Why do we do sinful activities? And Krishna answers, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha. Say it. Rajoguna samudbhavaha mahashano mahapapma vidhyenamiha vairinam. This is the enemy. It's the lust that we accept within our hearts. And from karma comes krodha. And karma esha, krodha esha. And it's understood that, without being stated, it's understood there's lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, this greed, pride, envy, illusion. It's understood. Not stated, but understood. It all comes from karma. So in the following verses, Krishna, he doesn't talk about subduing krodha. He talks about overcoming karma by knowledge. Ajnanena avritam jnanam. This ignorance non-knowledge covers knowledge. That's literally what Krishna says here. Ajnanena avritam jnanam. So same thing that Krishna says in that section, that karma that covers the knowledge. Jnanam avritya dehinam. He already said that. Right. So what's the solution? Then we go to the next verse here in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 16. Jnanena tutadajnanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham aditya vajjnanam prakashayati tatparam. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. And then Krishna goes on, tad buddhayas tad atmanas tad nishtas tad parayana gachantya punaravrittim jnanam nirdhuta kalmasha. When one's intelligence, mind, faith and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. So we choose to do, or we become subject to karma, to lust, and we choose to do wrong things due to ignorance of what is in our real self-interest. So we have to get knowledge, but we indulge in lust because we don't have knowledge of our real situation, but then the lust that covers our knowledge, so we're stuck. A result of ignorance is, or synonymous practically with ignorance, is lust, material desire. And how to get free from that? Well, then we have to come to Bhagavad Gita and understand all these things. Now, all these topics are discussed in detail in Vedanta Sutras and commentary. Srila Prabhupada quotes from the Vedanta Sutras here in the purport, at the end of the purport. Unsurprisingly, this question was brought to Srila Prabhupada also during the course of his preaching in the Western world. The question of theodicy, that's a technical term in theology, which theology is the science of God, according to the Western understanding. Traditionally, this word has been used for studying these scriptures and trying to make some sense out of it, specifically the Bible. And there isn't much philosophy in the Bible, so in the Christian tradition, they mostly brought in their philosophical ideas from the ancient Greeks. So anyway, this question came up, and there's one conversation in 1975. This was in South Africa, I believe. So Pushta Krishna asked Srila Prabhupada, sometimes people ask that if God is so great, then why doesn't he just come and destroy all the evil? Right? God loves us. So why doesn't he just make everything nice for us? Srila Prabhupada replied, because you have to suffer. You are a rascal. You must suffer. Therefore, evil must be there. Brahmananda, why doesn't he force us to be good? Prabhupada, just like if the criminals and thieves say, why has the government created this prison house? Is it a very good argument? It is for you, you rascal. You are a criminal. You must suffer. Why is it to be abolished? Otherwise, who will suffer? It is for your suffering. And Brahmananda persists. Why are we evil? Why doesn't God make us good? Prabhupada, no, God says that you become a devotee of me. And you do not become. That is your fault. In other words, free will is there. If God forces us, then we're just figures in a cartoon. We don't have any individual existence. Just like the government does not say that you become a criminal. The government says you become educated. You become a high court judge, you can become a big officer. Theoretically, anyone can become educated and become a high court judge or a big officer. Theoretically, everyone has the chance to do so. Although practically we see that people who are born in poor families, they're less likely to go on and become a high court judge. Mostly they come from richer backgrounds. So, generally speaking, someone who's from a more pious background can take to Krishna consciousness. In this regard, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yesham, Yesham. Vijantemam, Yesham. Yesham twandagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mangrita vrataha. So not just pious. One has to become educated also. One has to be educated to understand the difference, or go beyond differences, rather, go beyond dualities. And such a person can worship Krishna with very strong determination. But on the other hand, it's not restricted to people who come from a pious background, because Krishna also says, in this regard, what's the verse? No. You got the verse? Yeah, well, how does it begin? No, that's the verse after that. It's saying, again, going to the pious people. One who takes full shelter in me, Vyapashritya, in who? In Krishna, Mam. Mam hi parata Vyapashritya, yepi syuf papa yone. Striyo vaishyas tata shudras tepi yanti paramgatim. Paramgatim. So everyone can, generally, and then again, King Puna Brahmana Punya, Bhakta Raja Shriyashti. Anityam masukam lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. So generally it's expected that the people who are more pious, they will become devotees of Krishna and go to Krishna, but it's not limited to them. So anyone can theoretically become a high court judge, and anyone can become a criminal. So Prabhupada continuing here, why do you become a criminal, a pickpocket? Does the government give you any education for becoming a pickpocket? The government gives education so you can be an engineer, a doctor, an accountant, a lawyer. The government doesn't give any education how to be a pickpocket. Is there any institution how to steal, how to become a pickpocket? Then why do you become? There's a very good example that the government has systems for training people to be good citizens, fulfilled citizens. Doesn't have any program for training people to become criminals, but still there are criminals. People, the culturization is such that the government wants people to be good. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada also gave the example that when the government builds a new city, they also build a prison before anyone's even gone there. Then why do they build a prison? There are no criminals, so why do they build a prison? Because they know there will be criminals, so they build a prison also. Brahmananda, going on later in this conversation, says, this world is so imperfect, taking the position of someone who's arguing against Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, the world is not imperfect. Don't blame it on the world. You are imperfect, you rascal. You are a rascal. You are imperfect. The world is not imperfect. And Brahmananda brings a practical example. Well, they have these cyclones. And Prabhupada said, yes, they must come because you are to be killed. You are a rascal, you are to be killed. Therefore, God has created the cyclone. If we speak like this, this will be very unpopular. I've given this kind of talk several times before, but without quoting from this conversation from Srila Prabhupada. And I always give the example of Ram Jethmalani, who, when he was asked, does he believe in God, he said, I used to, but then when I went to visit the earthquake-struck places in Gujarat, when was that? Which year? You don't remember either. You were in Vapi or somewhere, a long way from the 2001, anyway, some time ago. When I went there and I saw the arms of innocent little children sticking out from the rubble, and so many people killed, especially mentioned he saw some infant school where everything was just rubble and all the children were killed. Then I stopped believing in God. And Prabhupada says, yes, they have to die because they're rascals. What did they do? They're just innocent little children. Not so innocent. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been killed. That is God's dispensation. That they did something in a previous life. This idea is very, very unpopular. Or I can give another example, which I read in Back to Godhead magazine. This was going way back also. That some journalist in England asked the manager of the England soccer national team, which is one of the most prestigious positions. You become very famous because in England there's so much into soccer in much of the Western world. In Poland also, I guess, is the same. They're into hockey also, ice hockey there. No, yeah. But in Britain, they're really into, although they, one of the great gifts of Britain to India, which even the Indians appreciate, is cricket. Who is that? Shashi Tharoor. He wrote a whole book saying how the British had all the bad things they did to India. So they did give some good things, cricket and tea. So what was I saying? Yeah, so one journalist was doing an interview with this England national soccer team manager. And he'd heard he believed in reincarnation, so he asked him, as if it was just a question, say, oh, you believe in reincarnation, don't you? Yeah, I believe in reincarnation. So that means that people who are born with congenital birth defects, it must be their fault, something they did in a previous life. Yeah, that's right. So it became big headlines. This blah, 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 whatever his name is, says that these poor people, they're just born like that, and it's their fault. They were sinful in a previous life, and it was a big outcry, and he had to resign, or he was thrown out from the job. Nothing to do with football. He might have been a great manager of the football team, but because he said such a horrible thing, these poor people, they're already suffering, and you're telling them it's their fault. Well, they didn't do anything. So this kind of preaching will be very unpopular, which is maybe one reason that, one among several reasons why, even though reincarnation, if we study scientifically, it seems to be a fact. Ian Stevenson, among others, studied scientifically. And if we take, just like you can't see electrons, but we understand that electrons exist, because the scientists say so, but they accept it. We accept it because the scientists say so. We don't know exactly why, but among themselves there's a consensus that they must exist, even though you can't see them with even the strongest microscope, what to speak of even smaller particles. But we accept that they exist because of this, 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 and this, for these reasons, and it all makes sense. Okay, all right, we believe it. Not by seeing, touching, tasting, smelling, or feeling, but by the effect. It's inferred. There's no other good explanation. So similarly with reincarnation, there are so many cases. We should accept it. Maybe that's one reason people don't. They want to blame it on God or Satan or just fate. It's just fate. There was a big bang and then blah, 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 here we all are today. It's not my fault that I'm stupid. No, I'm not stupid. What else? It's not my fault that my wife left me. It's her fault. No. It's not my fault. In divorce case, it's always the other one's fault, right? Then it's not my fault that I have such a weak constitution, and I get so many diseases. It's never my fault. It's never anyone's fault. We're all good, and God's bad, or there's no God. Prabhupada is, well, this is, you say, you could say that Prabhupada is being very heavy, but it's actually, it's the logical conclusion that if there's suffering, it's for every action there is a reaction, equal and opposite reaction. So we cause suffering and we get suffering. So much suffering we're inflicting on others, especially this rampant, widespread animal slaughter, what to speak of, abortion. Even if we don't engage in such grossly sinful activities, the very fact that we don't utilize our rare human form of life for God realization, that in itself is a misuse of human life. In itself, there's a story in the Bible about that, the parable of the talents. Talent in this regard is the name of a gold coins. And I guess that maybe the English word talent is derived from that. So a master went away and he left his servants he gave each of them so many talents. And then I said, I'm going away for a year or so, because merchants used to go away if they went on some big expedition, they might go away for a year or more. So he told the servants, you look after it. So he's a merchant. So his trusted servants, they assist him in all the business and this and that. So he gave one so much, and he came back and he asked one, okay, give back, now you give back the money, and he gave more because he'd used the money and made some more business. So he gave more than he was given. And the second one also, okay, he was given so many talents and he was given so many more. It was understood that the servant who had received the money, he was supposed to do business with it, not just take it. And the third one said, yeah, I buried it under the ground and I'll just dig it up and give to you. And he got chastised like anything. I gave you money, you're supposed to do business and increase it. So in the same way, the human life, it's not just meant for floating through life, but we're supposed to utilize our talents, or we're supposed to advance, use human life for understanding who we are, who is God, what is our relationship, and act in that way to get free from birth and death. I'll just read this. Srila Prabhupada, God has created the cyclone, therefore he is perfect, because you are to be killed, blown away with all your paraphernalia, with all your scientific laboratories and instruments. Go to hell. That is perfection. In other words, that is part of the perfection of God, that he arranges all these things as we require. Again, another example that Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave, when he's told that, well, people are starving, they're hungry, they don't get enough food, and Prabhupada said, yeah, that's God's arrangement. They should starve. That's required for them. Just like a patient in the hospital, the doctor may say, you don't give any food. Make them starve. You can maybe just give a liquid drip. Don't give any food. No solid food. Why does he say that? That's required for the patient in that condition. So Srila Prabhupada gave this analogy people have to starve, they have to go through that suffering that's required for them. The parent may punish the child. No, he hates the child, but that's required for the child, so that they can grow up and become a gentleman and not be unsocial. You have to teach them not to be a social menace by disciplining them, which means discipline means there's some punishment. One, or maybe the best contemporary study of this whole subject is this Dimensions of Good and Evil by Sahotra Swami, which he gives many graphic examples of good and evil, or evil in the world, and how what's the proper understanding in the background of that. Actually, this word evil, I don't think there's any word in Indian languages or in Sanskrit. The concept of evil, I don't think there's any word which corresponds to that in Sanskrit. In Tamil, of course, I wouldn't know. There's the idea that there's some inherent bad force in the universe. It's very much connected with the idea of Satan. Okay, that's all I have to... Oh, there is another very good article in Back to Godhead. You can find it in the Vedavase by Ravindra Swarup Prabhu called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? It's the name of a best-selling book at the time by a Jewish rabbi called Hari Krishna. And his conclusion was that God's a nice guy, but he's not really in charge of everything, so don't blame him. It's just things are not in he's not really in control of everything. He's an old man, so maybe a bit senile. I don't know if he said that, Hari Krishna. I just added that as a bit of sarcasm myself. They really don't know. They have no idea. They have no idea. I've been going through transcripts of Srila Prabhupada's discussions about various Western philosophers, and Prabhupada, he doesn't have much patience with them because they're all just speculating. They're all just they come up. He says, well, so-and-so says this and this. Why? How? Where did you get that from? It's just some idea in his mind, and he writes it down as if it's some fact. And then another philosopher comes and refutes that and says something else. And just the whole method of trying to understand is just faulty in itself. You can't understand like that at all. Therefore, tad vijnanartham saguruam eva abhigacchet shrutriyam brahmanishtam. To properly understand all these things, one has to go to a guru. And who's a guru? Not someone who's just like you can choose. I lived in Bangkok for some time. Prostitution is an open business there. So I'm told. We saw that in that we were printing our books, and they're also printing receipts for the bars, for one bar. So it was written in Thai that for a hotel. So room service, drinks, meals, this is the bill, girl, it's all part of the bill. Pu Ying is the word for female. Pu Ying. Mi Nun Mi Pu Ying. I'm not sure if I pronounce it properly. If you have money, you have a woman. I got way off track there. What was I talking about? How did I get to talking about Thai language? Baitiji article, Dimensions of Good and Why Do Bad Things Happen to God? Sorry, I lost it. Who is a guru? Yeah. Who is a guru? Still lost it. Anyway, Hare Krishna. I'm not in control. It's because I'm a fool. Because I'm a fool, then I can't remember. Because I was did bad things in my last life, I must have no brain. Huh? Choose a guru who's Shrotriyam, Brahmanishtam. Somehow or other, talking about prostitutes in Bangkok. There you go. When you talk about lust, and then your intelligence becomes bewildered. There you go. Practical demonstration. All right, I won't embarrass myself anymore. I'll finish here. Any question or comment, please.
Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha. Kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.